relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
This is a pretty dangerous part of town. What are we doing here?
Buscando algo que comer.
What kind of food?
Lo que sea, lo que encuentre. Perro, un gato, una paloma. Tengo mucha hambre. Tengo mucha hambre.
A clip from a shocking video by our friend Armie Horowitz. He went to Venezuela. He's a guerrilla journalist. And there he is in Caracas, just outside a public park with a local, a father, who is walking through the park at dusk, asking him, why are you here after dark? And he says, I'm looking for something to feed my family. A dog, a cat, or a pigeon. This hour here on America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, we are going to dedicate it to the real threat of socialism and what socialism truly is with somebody who knows and somebody who has impressed me greatly. I saw him recently at a heritage conference talking about his experiences. Daniel DiMartino, welcome to America First One-on-One.
Thank you for having me, Sebastian.
So, I think I heard you first speak at a heritage event before COVID. You came back last week for this amazing roundtable for the 30th anniversary of the fall of communism. Let's be specific, the fall of communism in the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact. This week, you gave a speech about why Venezuela particularly should be used as a warning signal, as an example of what could happen in America. I want you to explain that in a moment. But first, would you tell our millions of listeners across the nation, those who are viewing us on Rumble or seeing this maybe later on social media, just a little bit of your short life story to date?
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm originally from Venezuela. I was born and raised there. Came to America 5.5 years ago. After finishing high school in Caracas, the city that you showed in the video where that man is now seeking to find a dog to eat. And the truth is that Venezuela, when I was a kid, was a much different country than what it is today. It's been declining my whole life. And that's why I decided to leave. And I was blessed with the opportunity to come to America. And I've dedicated my life to stopping what happened in Venezuela from ever happening again. Now I'm doing a PhD in economics at Columbia University. I lived in Indiana before in Kentucky. Now I'm in New York City, unfortunately, but we're having a good time and I'm very thankful.
All right. So welcome to America. Thank you for what you have said so bravely, so courageously at multiple events on multiple platforms. Will you just briefly explain why the experience of Venezuela is so relevant to America today and why the experience of Russia and the Soviet Union or Cuba isn't?
Well, I'm not dismissing the experience of other countries. All countries, you know, we can learn many things from it. I do think that the experience of Venezuela particularly is relevant for us today because Venezuela is the most recent country to become a socialist dictatorship. And it did so democratically. That's the difference with Cuba. That's the difference with the Soviet Union. That's the difference with the Eastern European countries or China or others. because in America, socialism is never going to, or at least I don't think it will in any time in the foreseeable future, come through a coup or some type of violent revolution. It will come through the vote. And that's exactly what happened in Venezuela. Hugo Chavez won his first election in 1998. And each successive election was plagued and plagued with more fraud until it was impossible to change the results. And gradually, he implemented policies like increasing government spending to the degree that you couldn't pay it off. Investors stopped lending to the country. Inflation shut up. Shortages started happening in the shelves in the early 2000s because he imposed price controls to stop inflation, blaming businesses for the inflation rather than his own policies, and giving everything for free. And that's why our country was destroyed. And that's eerily similar to what we hear from the Democrats in this country.
Yeah, that you don't need a violent takeover. You don't need a revolution. As the old saying goes in other socialist countries, one man, one vote once. Why is Venezuela such a tragic story? Can you help, you know, for those who are not familiar with the background, the economy, the history, why is the socialization of Venezuela so very, very tragic, Daniel?
Yeah. But it was because Venezuela in the 1950s was the fourth richest country on the planet. It was the country that welcomed my grandparents when they came being dirt poor from Italy and Spain when, you know, in Spain they were under a fascist dictatorship and Italy was destroyed by World War II. So Venezuela welcomed millions of people from all over the world, from all over Latin America. That was a region full of military dictatorships as well. And in that melting pot that Venezuela was, in that American dream in South America, it was transformed from an upper middle income country into one of the poorest, one of the most dangerous countries on the planet. Caracas, where I'm from, is the city with the highest murder rate on the planet. In Venezuela, every year between 20 and 30,000 people get murdered. That is triple the number of people that get murdered in the United States, which is a country with 10 times as many people. It's insane. So it's a dangerous country. It's a country where there's no food, where there's not even gasoline, even though we have the largest oil reserves on the planet. Milton Friedman's saying that if you gave the government the Sahara Desert, in 5 years we wouldn't have any sand, rings so true because we gave the government the oil, and then now we don't have any oil.
Can you explain, did your parents who came to Venezuela, do they have an explanation as to the mechanics of how this occurred? Why is it that Venezuelans didn't realize? Because it wasn't a switch that was flicked. You went from one day being free and prosperous to then being a destitute nation with one party state and having to hunt down dogs and cats to eat. Is there a lack of resistance? Is there a lack of education? Was the Chavez regime so very, very good at what they do? Do you have an explanation for the fall of Venezuela as the Venezuelans stood there?
Yeah. It has to do first with the failure of the political class before Hugo Chavez took over. Venezuela had been on a decline before Hugo Chavez was elected. Otherwise, people wouldn't have voted for him. Let's remember this for people who are not familiar with Chavez. Chavez was a member of the military. He attempted a coup in 1992, and he failed, and he went to jail. And after he was released from jail, because the following president pardoned him, which was the one big mistake, he ran for president and won. So people voted for a traitor, a murderer, somebody who desecrated our country, who drove tanks in the streets and killed people. And for that to happen, yes, of course it's ignorance, but also things have to go very wrong in your country for that to happen in the first place. And the truth is that we had corrupt politicians before Chavez. We had politicians that believed in big government. They were just not, you know, full-blown socialists like that. And the country was in a rough economic spot in the 90s. And that's why Chavez won. That's why, you know, the solution to stop socialists from taking over in the first place is to have a prosperous country, to have a country that is free so that there's not even a need for people to think about those things.
He is telling the truth every single day. Follow him at Daniel D. Martino. That's also his website, DanielDMartino.com. You can find out more at his website, but also the fact that he is a PhD in economics candidate at Columbia leads me to ask many more questions about how his fellow Americans understand or do not understand the threat. This is America First, one-on-one with me, host your host, Sebastian Gorka. If you enjoy these discussions, these opportunities to go deeper into the big issues, please support those who make it possible. Great patriots, truth tellers like Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape, guaranteed for 10 years, 51 million sold. That's a true American success story. Mike now has a line of over 150 goods on his website, made in America. Amazing things like the sheepskin lined slippers, the mattress toppers, the bed sheets, the towels, the pajamas, the Egyptian cotton Giza dream sheets, the pet beds, and the left hates him. Why? Because he's a conservative. They want to cancel him. Support Mike today. Get some Christmas gifts for your loved ones and send a message to the cancel culture fascists. Use my name and Mike will give you up to 66% off. Support him today and also get a good night's sleep. The pillow that cuddles your cranium. President Trump uses them. My whole team loves them. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Stay with us for more one-on-one with Daniel DiMartino after this break. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studio. Relief Factor, 100% drug-free pain relief that actually works and which has liberated me from my daily pain now for more than 2.5 years. But it's not just me. It's people across the country, tens and thousands of you, like Leah from Ohio. This is Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions in 8 days, I found relief only to get better and better. That is Leah's story. And she concludes by saying, I'm a believer, 100%. That should be you, that could be you. There's only one way to find out, but it's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What are you waiting for? The only thing you have to lose is the pain. 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com.
ReliefFactor.com studios. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
I have a massive, massive thank you as well to all of you who have supported the Angel Tree Fellowship Program from Chuck Colson's amazing organization. This is where we get Christmas presents to the more than 1 million children across the nation who've lost a mother or father to the prison system. A truly crushing, crushing statistic, especially when you understand that more than 70% of these children will end up in prison themselves. Let's break the cycle. Let's make them feel loved this Christmas with a message from their incarcerated parent, a Christmas gift thanks to you and also the gospel. Just listen to one of these children, 8-year-old Joseph, who lives in Texas, who is so excited because of his Christmas being that little bit brighter thanks to you.
I will write to my dad about what happened. And one Christmas gift I got from Angel Tree was a drawing pad. That was my favorite I got. I also got paint and colored pencils. I knew he knew what I wanted, and he got the right thing. My name's Joseph, and I love Angel Tree.
Wow. Could you do something more blessed this Christmas than to spread that little Christmas cheer to boys like Joseph. Make a donation today, just $25 for a Christmas gift at sebgorka.com or go to 888-206-2794. Call them to make your donation. That's 888-206-2794 or go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Angel Tree banner at the very top. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Angel Tree banner. We are talking to Daniel DiMartino, who born in Venezuela, now in the United States, living the American dream. Let me thank you for sharing your personal story. Let me ask you what your experience has been like here in the United States. Let's start with probably the most tragic question of all. What is the your fellow Americans, when they find out where you're from, or if you start talking about political issues, what is the general level of knowledge about socialism and communism, Daniel?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it is very low. Usually when you tell, especially a young person, right, you know, oh, yeah, I'm from Venezuela, people, you know, some people think that it's a regular tropical country. I'm like, oh, I'd love to visit. And I have to say, no, you don't. You don't want to visit unless you want to die or suffer a crime. So that's one of the responses I get. Another type is that I'm very sorry for what your country is going through, because people have heard what's happening in the news. Other people ask me, is it that bad as the news shows it? You know, they don't believe it's that bad, or they're not sure what to think. And I have to tell them it's much worse than what the news shows, because the news doesn't show everything that people are going through day to day. They don't show how in 2019, the whole country suffer a blackout, 30 million people without electricity for 2 weeks. Imagine what happened to people in hospitals. Imagine people who needed refrigerators for their insulin if they were diabetic. People died all over the country because of that. And all of that is the government's fault. They're not told that, you know, the regime says that blackouts are the fault of Marco Rubio, who is hacking the electricity system from Miami, which is what they actually say. And nobody really believes that right inside. But leftists all over the world are promoting these lies, and people don't know what to believe, right? A few people, especially on college campuses, specifically faculty members, have told me that, you know, they think that it's the fault of the United States, or it is some, you know, it's nothing to do with socialism. It's just, this is a corrupt government. These are bad people.
Do you try and correct them, Daniel?
Yes. In undergraduate, this is when this happened. And I actually had to tell a professor, you know, this could have gotten me in very big trouble. But I guess that when you are from Venezuela, it's different as if somebody else says it, right? Because I come from personal experience.
Right.
And so I told him, you know, if you really want to see what's going on, I invite you to, you are going to move to my home in Venezuela, and I'm going to move to your home where you live in Indiana, and see who lasts longer, and see how you do. Right? You know, let's exchange.
Did you ever succeed with any of your faculty members in convincing them, Daniel?
Well, he never mentioned Venezuela again. I will say this one, never mentioned Venezuela again in class. Never mentioned socialism again. But, you know, it is sad to me. They can think whatever they think. What's sad to me is that if I wasn't there in that specific class to challenge him on his views of Venezuela or socialism, imagine what's happening to college students, even high school students all over this country, when professors are indoctrinating them unchallenged. Yeah. And that's the task that I think conservative students have. They need to speak up, because most of the time they will be the only voice for reason in the classroom.
Have you ever, I'm curious, maybe it hasn't occurred in your time in America, but when there's a gun incident, when there's a school shooting, and somebody talks to you about, well, we've got to disarm Americans or the Second Amendment is crazy, do you ever mention the fact, what was it in 2012 when private firearms ownership was banned in Venezuela? Do you ever bring up that point?
I always bring up the point that I support the Second Amendment, not even for self-defense reasons. Of course, I believe in self-defense, but I support the Second Amendment as a protection for tyranny, which is the original intended purpose of the Second Amendment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is because of Venezuela. Look, people think that you get out of a tyrannical regime by peacefully protesting and, you know, you just dress in white and send a little letter to the Soviet Union and to, you know, the Chinese regime, Cuba, Venezuela. That's not how you get rid of a tyrant. That's not how Americans get rid of this, of the English monarchy in 1776, right? That's not what happened. There was a war for independence.
Outside of faculty, when it comes to your fellow students, are there any that you've managed to convince to not look so favorably on Karl Marx, Daniel?
Yeah, actually, I have been able to persuade some people, especially people who are moderate, right? Especially people who are in the center left, not as much the people who are very dogmatic, but most people are not really, you know, socialist dogmatic. They're just compassionate. They just want to do better. They like what AOC says. They like what Bernie Sanders says. But if you come up with, and I think that if you come up with reasons, you know, yes, I want everybody to have a better quality of life. Of course, I'd love everybody to have health insurance. Of course, I'd love for everybody to have a house. The question is how to get there. And I don't think these policies do. And that's the matter.
What have you found is the best argument that works with people of your age? Is there some avenue of attack? Is there some issue that is more fruitful than others?
I think that it is coming up as a calm and reasonable person. I think that, remember that most people on the left, especially young people, have little to no interaction with conservatives. Yeah. So they have this image in their heads that we're monsters, that we're intolerant, that we're crazy, that we are, you know, bigots, and that's not the case. So once they talk with somebody who is reasonable, most of the time they're really shocked at first. They're like, oh, wow. Like sometimes, you know, I'm most of the time, many of my friends on the left, they're like, I'm the only friend that it's not on the left that they have. and they're like, oh, you know, he's a reasonable. He's not crazy or whatever.
How shocking. He's not.
Most people are.
He's not a monster. If you enjoy our one-on-one discussions, make sure to subscribe to our podcast. It's free. Also, our Rumble video stream, rumble.com/Seb Gorka, and most exciting of all, our brand new community. Yes, we have our new Gorka community at Locals. Direct access to me, behind the scenes content. Join today, gorka.locals.com. That's gorka.locals.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You're listening to One-on-One, back with Daniel after these messages. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest capacity micro compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, the class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend. Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I have to ask you guys, have you booked your tickets? We are going to the Holy Land next year. I am taking suggestions as to where you want to go. I've already locked in the key sites I want us to visit. The Sea of Galilee, of course, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. We're going to go to the Dead Sea as well, but we can plan it together. Register today, me and Dinesh D'Souza, together in Israel with you for the trip of a lifetime. Call 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. Don't miss this opportunity. StandWithIsraelTour.com. Stand with IsraelTour.com. We are back talking to Daniel DiMartino, formerly of Venezuela, now PhD economics candidate at Columbia University. Let me ask you a very personal question, Daniel. You've lived here for a while now. What does America mean to you, and how does it compare to other places?
America is the best country in the world, and it is the best country in the world because it is the only country where you can come from anywhere, and it is based on an idea that anybody can buy into and become an American. And I think that Ronald Reagan phrased this very well, that you can go to France and not become a Frenchman, you can go to Japan and not become Japanese, but anybody from any part of the world can come to America and become an American. And I think that that's a concept that is special, that we cannot lose, because being, becoming an American or believing in the ideas of America doesn't mean that you're born here. It should mean, or at least it should mean, that you believe in the ideas that the founders believed on. And that's what we need to inculcate children. Even though many people don't believe in those ideas anymore, this is the only country where a huge portion of the population is dedicated. It's a hard believer in freedom, in the Second Amendment. In no other place in the world you find people like Americans. And that's what makes this country special.
It's peculiar. I mean, it does say in the Bible that a prophet will not be recognized in his own land. And it is peculiar that the greatest book ever written on the United States was written by somebody who's not an American, but Alex de Tocqueville. Do you have a theory after your years of observing and now being a student, a PhD candidate, why it is, if you look at the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation's poll done with YouGov, if you look at the shocking statistics that two-thirds of American millennials would prefer to live in a socialist or communist America, despite the fact that they really have no idea what that means. Do you have any explication as to how we arrived at this point? What have you learned from your fellow Americans of your same generation?
Well, I think that the reason we arrived at this point is because there's a strategy from politicians on the left who do not have good intentions. People like Bernie Sanders, people like Ilhan Omar, like AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Jamal Bauman. There's many members of Congress and other political leaders who are actual believers in Venezuelan style of socialism, who are known to have praised it, are known to be friends of those tyrannical regimes abroad. And they're lying to Americans, to people who are young. They want to indoctrinate people into voting for them so that the same thing that happened in Venezuela can happen here. And I know that that sounds radical. For many people will say, Daniel, you're exaggerating. But you know what, Sebastian and all the viewers? That's what we were told in Venezuela. That same thing that we're exaggerating, that's what we were told. We were told that we're not Cuba, that we're not an island, that we're a democracy, we have oil, we will never become like Cuba. Guess what? We're worse than Cuba today in Venezuela. And it was democratically. It wasn't a coup. So don't come and tell me that that can happen here, because Venezuela was a nation of immigrants. Venezuela was a nation that was free. Venezuela was a democracy. Venezuela had the largest oil reserves on the planet, something the United States doesn't have. And still, we are now poor and starving and 6 million refugees out of our country, out of 30 million people.
Do you have hope for Venezuela, Daniel?
I unfortunately don't have hope in the medium term. I hope, my hope is that in my lifetime, Venezuela will once again be free so that I can show my children and my grandchildren the country I grew up in. There's nothing that I would love more than to go back and visit some people, and go back and see my school, my high school, so many people I miss and so many places that are dear to me.
Follow this man on Twitter at Daniel D. Martino, and also DanielDMartino.com is his website. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, member of the National Security Education Board. This is America First, one-on-one. If you enjoy not only the program, but if you'd like direct behind-the-scenes access, join me at my new Locals community, my new subscription service. You can go to Gorka.locals.com. That's Gorka.locals.com. All of you out there know that MyPillow doesn't have giant box stores or any shopping channels. They've been instead targeted by cancel culture, but now they want to pass on big savings directly to you. Get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with my promo code. They also have queen-size pillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with promo code G-O-R-K-A, or king-size pillows, usually $89.98, now only $29.98 with my promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to actual beds. Promo code G-O-R-K-A also works at mystore.com and frankspeech.com. Call today, 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka.
Most awesome pipes in talk radio, Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to One on One with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Daniel DiMartino. Daniel, here's the big question that I've been building up to in our discussion for more than half an hour, and I really want your assistance because we're similar in a certain way. You lived in a socialist country. My parents escaped a communist country. My father was liberated from a political prison in communist Hungary. And I'd like your assistance just for a few minutes because, you know, we met again at this amazing event my wife organized at Heritage along with the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation last week to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Soviet Union. But we have so much work left to be done. The threat is not from Europe. It's not from the Soviet Union or the Warsaw Pact. It's from people in America who believe that communism is the way, who think that packing the Supreme Court is a good thing, open borders is a good thing. What is it? Can you give us your sense? What is it that conservatives do wrong when it comes to communicating? Ronald Reagan, you know, had the skills of the actor. He knew all the facts because he traveled, you know, to hundreds of GE plants before he became governor of California. He was paid to explain why democracy, why free markets work. So he had the skills and he had the knowledge. We're far too keen on the right, Daniel, I think, to say, oh, look, here's the Laffer curve distribution for taxation. Here's the return on GDP and investment if you lower taxes. We have the facts and the data, and we think the data's enough. This famous phrase from Ben Shapiro, facts don't care about your feelings. Yes, Ben, but feelings are often how you win elections. So do you have any advice for those who say, yeah, we get it, but who don't know how to communicate it, especially to people of your generation?
Yeah, I have three points that I want to make. One of them is that the right doesn't have solutions solutions that unify us to the problems that Americans have today, unfortunately. Yes, you know, we believe in school choice. Yes, we believe in the right to life. But what else do we believe in? Do we believe in low taxes? Yes. Okay, great. What is our education reform proposal aside from school choice? How do we educate children about socialism? What is our healthcare proposal? We couldn't even pass anything. And people are concerned about the cost of healthcare. And that's why they vote for the Democrats, because they have proposals. Yes, bad proposals, but they have something. What is your proposal to reduce the cost of housing so people can buy a home and raise a family? What is your proposal so that, you know, people can live a good life, so that we, you know, have secure communities? We don't want to defund the police. That's what we're against. What are we for? How do we make sure our cities are safer? So we need to get unified on solutions so that we can present the American people what we believe in, and they will clearly show that ours are superior. That's one. Another thing that I think is that we're cheapening the meaning of the word socialist. Okay? Yes, Bernie Sanders is a socialist. Yes, AOC is. But, you know, increasing the child tax credit is not going to turn us into Cuba, right? And I feel like a lot of Republicans because they know that the word socialist, you know, is good for the base. We all hate it. They call things socialist that we shouldn't really be calling socialist. And that cheapens the meaning of the word. Just like Democrats call everybody racist, and then that cheapens the meaning of the word racist and racism, which is real when it's properly used. So we need to make sure that we use words carefully. And I think that finally, we need to teach future generations about socialism in ways that we aren't right now. We teach about the Holocaust somewhat, even though we should teach more. But what about we require schools to be teaching about what happened in Venezuela, what happened in the Soviet Union, and that's something that Florida is working right now and doing. We need to do this at the national level instead of just, you know, using it as a campaign tactic. We see now many Republicans actually want the radical left to win primaries in the Democratic Party instead of rooting for moderate Democrats. The truth is that it would be better for all Americans if we had a Democratic Party that wasn't a socialist party, right? And we need to be supporting Democratic primary opponents to AOC, because the truth is that we're never going to win a Republican candidate in AOC's district, which is 90% Democratic. So we might as well be well-meaning for the American people, and instead of wanting to have her as the scapegoat, try to defeat her for real with somebody who is more moderate.
Fascinating. Let me get you to expand upon that first point. You say we have these principles, but we don't have details to our policies. Are elections really won on detailed policies? Aren't we falling back into the trap of, here's my PowerPoint presentation, look at the distribution of income and, you know, the bell curve? Can you expand upon that first point, Daniel?
Yeah. So I don't mean that you need to have, that you need to campaign on a detailed policy, but if all you have is things you are against, okay, you will win this election. Great. Well, then what are you going to do with power? What did Republicans do with healthcare when they won in 2016? Yeah. They did nothing. They lost because other Republicans voted against their own proposal. And so what did people think? You know, Democrats may actually pass something. So now let's give them a chance. No, we have to pass things. What is the Republican proposal for immigration? Oh, you know, let's go back to Trump and build a wall. But there's so many things that we don't talk about. What is the Republican proposal to the secure communities? We're against defunding the police. Great. What about you say, you know, I'm for increasing police presence in targeted areas with crimes, or I'm for training and giving these resources to police officers, or I'm for this and that. It's, we need to have things we're for.
Yeah, so it sounds like, and I can concur with this. If you win, for example, if they're predicting the shellacking of the Democrats in the midterms, the GOP may win, but they're not ready with their concrete packages. They say defund the police is wrong. Okay, but what are you going to actually do? These are the things they should be working out now, Daniel, correct?
Exactly. That's okay. What Newt Gingrich did in the 90s. He presented the agenda for America.
Yes.
They won and they passed it. And it was a huge success.
Yeah. The contract with America was amazing. And Newt Gingrich remains, I think, the greatest strategic mind in politics in America today. We need another Newt Gingrich. We need a Newt who's 20 years younger. We need him to get back into the saddle. You're absolutely right. He was ready to roll. He had a program. We're talking to Daniel DiMartino. Follow him at Daniel DiMartino on Twitter or on his webpage, Daniel DiMartino.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
You
You can now watch America First on TV, and I urge you to check us out. Go to salemnews.com or download the app today. You can also watch us on Roku and Fire Stick. That's Salem News Channel, the antidote to the lying legacy media. Welcome back to America First, one-on-one with Daniel DiMartino. I want to close by getting you to expand, Daniel, on this. That response was great. The three things we have to do better as conservatives. The second one you said is not to cheapen socialism. And for years, as a person whose father had the scars of the secret police torturers on his body until he died, I used to get angry when Americans said, oh, they're communists, the left are communists. And I'd say, really? Let me talk to you about what communism or socialism really is. However, Daniel, in the last 3 years, I don't have a problem with people saying that about the Democrats. When you see, AOC wasn't elected as a Democrat. She was elected as a candidate of the Democratic Socialists of America. When you have Bernie Sanders, who I think was, had the candidacy stolen from him by Hillary, a man who gladly, unrepentantly honeymooned with his wife in the Soviet Union when it was the Soviet Union. Isn't it factually correct to call these people socialists, or are you talking about cheapening the word in another way?
No, I said it. It is factually correct to call these specific individuals socialists. I also call them because they are. They're even self-avowed.
Yeah.
So it's not even us putting the word on them. But I mean on people who don't deserve it, on calling every Democrat that a Republican is running against a socialist. That's not true. Not all Democrats are socialists. And you do not want for Democrats to think that they are. Because once they are, they will actually, it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
They have nothing to lose, right?
They have nothing to lose. They already are being called socialists. So why not as well do it?
Yeah. Fabulous. Wish we had another hour to talk to you. I have one suggestion. Hopefully I can see the basic economics textbook on the shelf behind you. You're working hard on your PhD, but you've got to write a book, Daniel. You've got to write an autobiography. Are you going to do that?
I'm thinking about writing one about the story of what happened to Venezuela. There's no book in English about what really happened to our country.
Wow.
And we need Americans to know.
All right, let's have a discussion on that offline. Fabulous. The man's website, DanielDiMartino.com. We need hundreds, if not thousands, of young men like him, young women speaking the truth. Please follow this man on Twitter, at DanielDiMartino. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to One-on-One. If you enjoy these discussions, don't forget, subscribe to the podcast. Look for my name wherever you get your podcasts. Check out our video channel where we post all of our best interview segments. That's rumble.com/Seb Gorka. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA. And if you want something a little bit special, if you want direct access, behind-the-scenes commentary, you've got to check out our new Locals channel. Brand new, less than a week old. That's gorka.locals.com. GORKA.locals.com. This is America First, One-on-One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.